Hello.
My name is Abigail.
And my name is Matt.
And welcome to Polyglot Progress.
This is episode 2 of the Polyglot Progress podcast, and today we will be talking about where we get time and money to learn languages, and how you don't need a whole bunch of money to go out and buy different types of books, how there are plenty of free resources available online, how there are cheaper alternatives, and we will give you a little insight as to what we do when it comes to language learning materials and the way we allocate money towards them.
And also how we find time within our busy schedules. We are both students at the moment, but lots of people, whether they're students or have a job or just have a very busy life, lots of people feel the reason they can't learn a second language is because they just don't have the time. And so there are lots of ways that you can make time or find time in your day that you are not using and use that towards learning a language.
Definitely, definitely. And a lot of people also think that just because they may not be in school anymore, that they miss an opportunity to learn a language. And I think this is a rather sad mindset to have, because we're both in school, but we take the time to go outside of our school to find our own means of learning languages that we have an interest in.
Yeah, it's important to note that we're both in school, but that's not how we're learning languages. At the moment, both of us do the majority of our language learning outside of school. We both take a language in school, but most of that currently is review, as we're both taking courses that are mainly set to take an exam. So most of our learning, even of those languages, is outside of school for our own personal reasons. And then we both learn a large amount of languages on top of that that are not offered in our schools even. So it is not a school thing. It is something we are doing in the time we have, along with homework and studying for exams and all of that stuff.
Definitely, definitely. And do you think school is a big block when it comes to language learning? Do you think it gets in the way almost?
I mean, I think it depends for people, because some people are learning languages as that's what they want to do with their job and with their life, and other people are learning languages along with learning stuff for whatever they want their career to be. So if your school time is put towards whatever career you want to do, I don't feel like it's a block, because obviously it's for something important in your life.
Definitely.
And you can just make time to learn languages on the side. But like for me, next year one of my majors is going to be languages. So obviously it shouldn't be a bit of a block for languages, since I will be putting effort into languages that I currently don't have any experience in. So that'll be learning languages in school as well. And then my other major will be towards career stuff, so school shouldn't be a block then. But at the moment, high school is a lot about just getting into college, so a lot of it is a block, especially as of right now, whereas I'm a senior, and after like 2 weeks from now I'm taking exams, and then after that I'm probably going to be doing pretty much nothing until graduation. In fact, actually then I'm done with school, because they like kind of made it so I don't need to go to school at the end of the year. So
nice.
So then it shouldn't be a block, because I'll be out of school and learning languages. But for a lot of people, you have to go into school even after you're done with all those things, so.
Yeah, like, I find I have a lot of free time while I'm in school, whether it be free periods or just I've got work already done, and I can work on other things while I'm in class, and sometimes I'll decide to get homework out of the way or whatnot, but a lot of other times I decide, you know, hey, I can use these few minutes to, you know, hop on Duolingo, hop on Memrise, you know, strengthen some skills. Even if I'm carrying, say, I've got a parallel text right here, if I've got a book with me, I'll just pop open the book and I'll just flip through it, flip to a page I may not remember as well, read up on some grammar notes. I mean, you'd be surprised with how much free time you have that you may not be aware of. I remember I made the video about listening in language learning, and in that I mentioned how I'll do a PIMSLEY in the morning and on the bus or something, or some type of audio course. And mentioning courses like PIMSLEY, Memrise, Duolingo, Duolingo and Memrise are great free options, and PIMSLEY for some people may be very expensive and might not be an option, but there are great free audio alternatives and much cheaper ones available. Books like the Teach Yourself and Colloquial series typically come with audio courses as an addition?
Yeah, I'd also like to point out, I have not tried this, so I can't speak to how well it works, But I was recently reading a review of the, I think it's Michelle Thomas is the name of the person. I might be wrong there. Those audio courses. And they're like a similar concept to Pimsleur, where it's like, it asks you how to say something. And then, no, not that Michelle Thomas.
Not that Michelle Thomas.
Like, take away the Ellie. But it's a similar thing to Pimsleur with the audio courses, but supposedly it's about half the price,
really?
From what I know, like, for all the courses. So, obviously, as I said, I haven't done it before, and it doesn't have as many languages as Pimsleur, but if you find that it works, it is cheaper than Pimsleur. So that is an audio course that still costs in the hundreds of dollars for the entire course. But, I mean, if you have that money, but you don't want to spend the hundreds of dollars that Pimsleur costs, that is an option.
Nice.
I think what you were saying also brings me to my first point, which was just use any time you have. Like waiting for a bus or being on a bus, you can, like, study. Reviewing skills is always good. You can also learn skills if you have, like, a book with you or something. So I'd say just kind of always carry something around with you. Like, I most of the time spend my free periods at school working on homework, because I take classes online as well outside of school. So a lot of the time it's getting online coursework done during my free periods. But I always have my German book in my backpack just in case. And sometimes I do some German at school. Yeah, when I'm in the hallways walking from class to class, I do Duolingo and refresh skills. So, like, if you can walk and do things at the same time,
that's
make use of
I
that
have.
As well.
I can't do that.
You can do Pimsleur in the hallway. Just put on
that's
some sort of thing.
Definitely. And, but like you were saying, waiting for a bus, I remember sitting in New York one day, and I was waiting for someone who was arriving, and I had a lot of free time because their bus was delayed, and so I just sat in a cafe with a Norwegian grammar book.
I wonder who that person was. It was me.
It was you. And so it gave me a lot of time to go through about, like, 30 pages of this Norwegian grammar book, and it was incredibly helpful.
While I was stuck on that delayed bus, which was 3 hours delayed, by the way, I got through a lot of Pimsleur, German Pimsleurs. So, I mean, again, there you go. Just do whatever you have time for. There's a lot of free time that you don't realize you have because it's not a large enough chunk to do something. Like, specifically, sit down and watch a TV show you like or something. But, like, you have 5 minutes while you're waiting for that bus, and then you've got 5 minutes while you're in line to get a coffee or something. Like, you have all these, like, 5 minute periods of free time throughout your day that you might not realize you have because it's not, like, a big chunk of free time. But you can always use that little bit of time to get a little bit of language learning done.
Definitely.
And I'd also say, like, if you've got a lunch break, I go to my school library during lunch and eat after school because I feel like eating at 10 o'clock in the morning is not really for me. So, like, I don't eat lunch at school. I use that time to learn German or make time or do my homework so then I have time in the afternoon to do language stuff.
Nice.
So I'd recommend that.
Mm-hmm.
Another option that is, like, not using the time you have throughout your day already is to make a schedule. And stick
definitely.
With that. As of currently, as I approach exams, I've made a spreadsheet of my next 3 weeks so that I can plan out my study time. And I currently have no time for languages on there, but I'm looking to make more space in it, especially on the weekends, because I have open hours there. So I'll be scheduling in time to work on the languages I want to be learning at the moment. So if you have time, like, maybe be like, I want to learn at 4 o'clock because I can make time at 4 o'clock and learn languages. Another way to go about doing that is say that you want to do, like, a half hour every day or something. And then you can even break up that half hour throughout your day. Like, every time you get that 5 minutes throughout your day of free time, you can cross off another 5 minutes towards that half hour.
Definitely.
And then you've got your half hour over the course of the day.
Yeah, that can be a really great way to approach motivating yourself to learn a language, I think. A lot of time, it's difficult to see progress in a language, and that's part of the reason we created the Polyglot Progress, to have our diaries and show how it's possible to make progress over time, how it's not something that happens overnight, how you need to put work into it. And I think you I remember when you were doing the November Polyglot Challenge, is that what it was? You did, yes. 10 hours of German immersion.
Yeah, I made it my goal to do 10 hours of German immersion, so like music, TV, reading, whatever it was, just some sort of like thing that I'd usually do as a relaxing activity in my native language, I would do in German instead.
Mm-hmm.
So I made like a little like chart thing, I guess. I don't know how to explain it. But there were like 10 boxes, and every time I completed an hour, I'd like fill it in. So then after the 10 hours, I had a full like bar colored in.
Mm-hmm.
There's one way to do it. That broke it up. I didn't do 10 hours in one day. I didn't even do 10 hours in 2 days. I did it over the course of a month. So there was that. That's a way to go about it. Maybe do something similar to that. Like put your number of minutes or number of hours you want to spend studying. That's currently what I'm doing for exams as well, because I want to do like around 20 hours for each exam I'm taking. So I've just been checking off. I've made it my goal, like, each week I'm like, okay, do 3 hours in this subject. And then I check it off. So, like, that can easily be moved over to languages. That'll probably be what I do over the summer.
Definitely.
Because I have a lot of languages that I want to work on over the summer for various reasons.
Mm-hmm. Same here.
Also, like, taking a course that holds you accountable going back to school. Like,
yes.
If you have the option at your school to take a course... but also, if you're out of school, that doesn't mean you can't take a course. I think that's kind of a myth that people tend to believe, is that, like, mm-hmm. after they're out of school, there's no way for them to take a class with other people. But, like, libraries often hold
libraries,
classes.
Definitely.
My library has, I don't know if they teach you anything in these, because I've never been to them, but they have conversation sessions.
Ooh.
In French, Spanish, and Mandarin, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I've never been to them, but because they're also, they're like at 10 o'clock in the morning or something, like when I'm at school during the school day. So it's directed towards adults, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know if they teach you conversation things or if it's just an opportunity to practice, but even that, if you are at a level where you can practice, would be good. So, I mean... see if your library offers something like that. There's also, like, Parks and Recs sometimes probably hold things like that. My town mm-hmm. doesn't, but I assume that would be a thing that some towns
definitely.
Have.
I mean, we could bring back a real-life example that happened to us recently. We were just wandering through, we were on Broadway, was it?
I don't know. Yeah, we were somewhere in New York City, and then we looked, and there was the Language Learning Center of New York.
Oh, that too. I was talking about when we ran into the German speakers.
Oh, yeah, Matt was practicing German with some natives just on the street.
Yeah, we found a, what was it, a little tent that was, like it was during one of the markets, and there was a vendor that was selling Deutsche Spezialitäten, which were German specials, and we were, like, eyeing that thing up for, like, 15 minutes before I walked over there with enough courage to speak to them, and, but I'm so glad that I did. And so a lot of times, if you're in, cities are great areas that have, high language densities. A lot of times there's a lot of information online as to where certain languages are spoken in, like, different countries or different regions, and so if you're looking for that native exposure, that can always be a great way. But then a great thing to remember is that you've got the internet, and a ton of people all over the world utilize this resource to communicate with others. So even places like Facebook, there are tons of groups on Facebook that you can join, which are, like, learners of X language. Like, I know for most Duolingo courses, they have a subsequent or additional, what would you call it, group on Facebook. So, like, for Swedish, there's a Duolingo Swedish learners group on Facebook. And so you can join these and meet up with other people who are learning. And it can be very helpful to sort of get that exposure like I did.
Yeah, that was one of my points for saving money, is a lot of people say that the only way you can fully get exposure to language and fully, like, finish becoming at a native level, which is a weird way to, like, put it, but to, like, finally get that push to near native speaking is to go to a country. But it's important to remember that there are lots of options. Like, iTalki, which does cost money.
Yep.
But not as much as a plane ticket to another country.
Yep.
So, like, say my German. Like, I don't need to buy a plane ticket to Germany and a hotel in Germany. I can find someone on Tumblr or on Facebook or on Skype, and I can talk to them for a little while and get mm-hmm. that practice with a native. If you live in an area that has people, like in New York, that has people that are just selling things and mm-hmm. can speak their native language with you, there's an opportunity to practice.
Definitely.
Yeah, but my last thing with time was to use language learning as a reward as well. So,
definitely,
like,
definitely.
If you are a really busy person, have it be what you do before you go to bed. Like, mm-hmm. I do Duolingo right before I go to bed.
Same here.
To just refresh some skills.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I mean, maybe, like, finish your work by a certain time. Let's see, say you're done with work at 8:30 or something. Just spend until, like, 9 or whatever, just with your grammar book, working a little bit on your language.
And a lot of it can be great to find some free resource, some TV show maybe that is in your target language.
Mm-hmm.
Or some radio is great to do this as well. Music is amazing. You've got excellent resources like Spotify and YouTube. You can discover great bands and musicians in your native language, in your target language, which you could always listen to in your free time. And oftentimes you can find the lyrics available online, a quick Google search, and translating these lyrics can definitely be helpful to get some exposure to the language, start picking out some meaning here and there. But it's definitely up to the way you view your free time and whether you want to use it to relax or use it as a reward. I mean, I'm a firm believer that language learning should be stress-free, and
I think it should be stress-free, but also there are people who are learning it for a reason, like for school or for
definitely
and for so, work, and I'm not opposed to that. There's some people that say it should only be because you want to, like, better yourself or connect with the culture or whatever, but there are some people that, like, if you work in a company where the majority of the people there do not speak your language, learning their language might be useful for you mm-hmm. in that situation. And
there are
maybe
tons of benefits there.
Maybe you're not as big of a fan of language learning or of that language or something, but it's mm-hmm. beneficial for you in your daily life. But still, it shouldn't be stressful. So, like, finding a way to make it not stressful. So, like, if language learning is something fun for you, like, just remind yourself of that. And if it's not something that you're doing for fun, maybe find a way to make it fun for you. Like Matt said, like, find maybe a TV show in that language. So that way you can have that, like, push where you're like, yeah, I want to learn all this vocab, so then when I watch mm-hmm. the next episode of this show, I'll be able to understand more of what they're saying.
Yeah.
And definitely. Then, like, as you go on with the series, you'll be able to understand more and more of what the characters are saying. And maybe mm-hmm. you really like this TV show. So then it's, like, a fun thing for you.
Yeah, and you've got that connection there. I was going to mention that, what was it I was going to say? Oh, it had something to do with, it's gone.
Because you're on Tumblr.
I'm looking for things to talk about.
So, are you done with, time? Can we move on to money? Or do you have anything else to...
Oh, I did have something about time. But you know what? Let's move on to money. And...
All right.
Yeah.
So, there are lots of free resources online, obviously. Even if you just Google with whatever language you're learning, be like, free Spanish resources or something.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll get lots of reviews and you'll get lots of, like, websites, and some of them might not be very good.
Yeah.
So it'll just involve a little bit of, like, combing through them and finding the good websites and the websites that work best for you. Some of it might be things that look good and people have had good experiences with, but then when you try it out, it might not work for you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit of just trying things out and seeing what works for you personally.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. I find that with apps such as Duolingo or Memrise, I mean, Memrise more so because I don't like the slow interface of it. I wish it could go a bit quicker. That's just my pet peeve with it.
Memrise, my pet peeve, comes with people create the courses.
Yeah,
they don't have, so it's just anything you click on, but then that also means that you can create your own Memrise course
mm-hmm.
that maybe even no one else would find useful because it's just, like, random words that only you need to study, like, some mm-hmm. weird collection of words. But that is useful in the sense that you can make it. Also, Quizlet is good for that as well.
And even if you have any languages that you're having trouble finding resources for example, Bulgarian,
Yes.
you could always ask us if we have any resources we could recommend, and we'd be more than happy to compile a short little list for you. And then I'm sure we could find a place to put this on our blog with like different language resources. I think that'd be a
Yeah.
nice little thing.
We do have a Tumblr blog. Our username is Polyglot Progress again. So if you just send us an ask and be like, "Hey, I'm looking for Japanese resources," we can probably show you some things that
I've got some
maybe
great
we've
ones.
used, or then with languages we haven't used, we'll just put a little disclaimer that we haven't actually studied them, but give you some things that maybe are by the same people that have made courses that we like for languages we have learned, or just that
Definitely.
we think would be useful for you.
And when it comes to money, be very careful when buying a book when it's a script language.
Yeah, a lot of books don't put the actual script in.
For example, I bought a Japanese book when I was learning Japanese back in November. I bought the complete Teach Yourself Japanese. And I was so excited because Teach Yourself is a course I love. I was going to get the audio that came with it. I did get the audio. But something I was so disappointed with when I got this was it uses Romaji. And it only briefly introduces you into the script, like the fourth quarter into the book.
This is the older Teach Yourself, though,
This is
so
older. The new
as a
one may be
disclaimer, I
different.
don't know if anyone's different or not, but that is something to bear in mind.
Read the reviews.
Yeah, read reviews, and also with books, that's a nice segue as well. With
Yes,
books,
hey.
buy used books.
Used books are wonderful. They are your best friend. But buying used books that do have audio courses, you may want to, if you're buying through Amazon, send a message to the,
Yeah, just check and make sure that it has the audio course if that's something you're looking for. And also, you can even get some used things on Amazon are actually still sealed. Like,
Yeah,
my
definitely.
German one was unopened, still had the plastic seal around the entire case.
Yeah.
And it's the newest version of the German
Oh,
Teach
wow.
Yourself book, so I don't know, I guess some like bookstore bought it and then didn't want it or something. So, I mean, there's lots of bookstores actually on Amazon that sell things in the used section, even though they're brand new.
Yeah.
Even the new section on Amazon is sometimes cheaper than the Amazon price. So just look around in used books. If you don't mind some highlighted text, you can even get one of those for really cheap.
I know recently I bought a book, I believe it's this Latin American Spanish that's a bit written in, but I don't think I'm bothered by it because it's,
You can,
again,
as long as it's not in pen, you
it's
can also go
pencil,
through and
yeah, it's
erase it.
pencil. So, a lot of it's, and I think that's kind of a joy of language learning is it's this whole community. And so, knowing that someone's gone through this book before and probably got a whole bunch of use out of it, that kind of makes me happy. And it makes me a bit more motivated to know that, hey, someone else used this, and now it's been passed on to me, and now I hope to gain a whole bunch of knowledge from this. And yeah, I got it for an amazing price, so.
Yeah, I got a lot of books from my library does a sale where they all the books that are donated to them throughout the year, like people just drop off books they don't want anymore, and then my library sells them and keeps the money for the library to get buy new books and things like that. So I went to that, and on the second day of the sale, you can fill up a like shopping bag for $10 or something like that.
Yep.
And so there is a language learning section there, but most of the people in my town are really not into language learning. We are a very not diverse place. So most people really didn't want those books, and then the people that were buying books, it was like the how to study for the Spanish exam or something like books, because it was for their kids and stuff. So I managed to get a bunch of DVDs in my target languages. I got books for like really cheap, like I filled up a bag with language learning books basically, and got some grammar books
You were
for
texting me
essentially,
like
yeah, I got Matt like six books or something, because I was like,
it
give
was
me all the
amazing. You got me
languages
a
you want.
French textbook, a
I got him
Russian.
a French textbook from schools, I got him another French book, and possibly a third French book as well,
Feel like you
a
may have.
Russian book. Like, I got him a ton of stuff.
So always be on the lookout for
Yeah, yard sales and
yard sales,
stuff.
garage sales, or what do they call them in the UK? They have those like people go into a parking lot and they open their boots of the car. Is it a
I
boot
think we have
sale?
those in the US too.
Oh,
They're like,
we do.
I don't know, but sales like that.
Yep.
And then also like library books. You can get those for
We
free.
went
Lots of
to
libraries
my
have.
library
We went to Matt's
and
library.
found dual Spanish and French books. This was only the children's section, wasn't it?
Well, we went to the adult section too, but they didn't have anything that we were really interested in.
Yeah,
and then we're planning in the week after next week, Matt will be at my house, so we're going to go to my library and go and search for books there as well. So always go to your library. They might not have books that you want, but also a lot of libraries can do this thing where they can order from other libraries around you.
Definitely. So if you've got a book you've been looking into online that seems like it's totally your thing, always approach
your
library.
Check your library first.
If they don't have it, ask them if it's possible for them to order it potentially for you, and then you could take it out and get what you can from it and then return it, and maybe someone else will get some use out of it.
Yeah, especially if it's a thing, if you're looking for maybe like a reader or something like that, that you'll only go through maybe once and then possibly in the future, because then you can go back and get it again. But if it's not something you'll be using for a long period of time, I'd say get it from the library instead of actually buying it.
Definitely.
Also, don't spend money on, like, the expensive resources and books just because they're expensive. And
don't fall for Rosetta Stone.
Yeah, I mean, Rosetta Stone is, like, the big one
that
a lot
happen?
Of people always
How
talk
did that
about.
How that they got the biggest name in language learning?
I don't know. I mean, but it's always kind of talked about in the polyglot community of that being the thing that you don't really want to go with. And it's also one of the most expensive things. So, kind of just not going for things that are just expensive because it seems like that might be the best because it's expensive. Like, my favorite book as of currently is Teach Yourself. I've started a colloquial and I like it so far. I'm planning on doing a colloquial versus Teach Yourself book thing
in the
future. I just need to finish my colloquial book first, and I'm less than a chapter into it so far with Bulgarian. I like Teach Yourself from what I've done in colloquial. I like that as well, and both of those go for about $30, and that's with audio.
Yeah, the colloquial tends to be slightly more expensive.
Colloquial's a bit more expensive, and also it depends with both on what language you're learning. If you're learning a
common language.
If you're learning a really common language, like the Spanish ones are really cheap. French ones tend to be pretty cheap.
Which one was a bit more expensive? Like Icelandic, I think, was a bit more expensive.
Icelandic, and like your COSA one, I think, was a bit more expensive, even though you got yours used, didn't you?
For Teach Yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah, you
but
I think it was.
I think the COSA ones typically go for more, like, things that are, like, not as common, because it's things that they had to search a little harder to get someone to write
someone
the book.
Someone who was qualified to teach the language.
Yeah. Like, there's lots of Spanish professors out there, so it was pretty easy to find someone for that. But, yeah, it just depends on the language. But, I mean, those are good resources, and they're fairly cheap. So.
Definitely. Yep.
You can also, back to the used book thing, sell your books when you're done. If you're not going to need it again. If you finish the beginner Japanese book and want to move on to
intermediate.
Let's say you're an advanced Japanese speaker at this point. You probably don't need the beginner book anymore. Like, maybe you'll go back to the intermediate one, but the chances of you needing, like,
the beginner
to relearn the alphabet or something.
Yeah. And
is a bit
things like the alphabet, those are available online. I remember learning scripts for me. It definitely helps me to print out.
Maybe just go through your book before you sell it and, like, make notes of all the things that you could possibly need in the future. And then, because also if you move through the book at some point and take notes while you're moving through it, just save those notes and then sell the book. And that allows someone else to buy a book for cheaper. And it gives you money back to buy maybe the advanced book.
Definitely, yeah.
And you can also make money off of your language through things like tutoring and translating. If you have experience with that language, then maybe you get an account on italki or you start a thing in your neighborhood or something.
Yeah, starting a club at your library or school. For people who are interested in that language or culture, it can be great. You'd be surprised. I've been surprised with the amount of response Polyglot Progress has gotten in my school, because
so many kids are interested. Yeah, but even before Polyglot Progress, like, you'd come in with your Norwegian book and people would be like, "Hey, whoa, you want my Korean book or something?"
Yeah,
like,
I get a lot of people who are telling me, like, "Oh, I'm learning this language too," and then that opens up to, like, "Oh, I know to approach them if I am."
A bit more of a diverse and worldly school.
I do. Like, I have someone who speaks Uzbek.
Yeah, my school is a bit less like that. It's a bit harder to find people that are going for languages, but also just your school in general, like the way the events your school holds and stuff, it does try to be a bit more cultural.
Definitely.
But Yeah, if you have maybe start a tutoring thing, because as I said, lots of people learn languages for jobs too. So if you know something that could possibly be helpful in a job, if you know Mandarin Chinese and there's like a big business near you or something, chances are a lot of people are going to be learning Mandarin because that's big in the business world right now. So like just put up flyers, be like, I tutor, and you might find a
And
few people that need it.
that connects with something I'm looking into doing, which is basic German tutoring, in that I want to do it for volunteer hours in the beginning before I start even asking for a little bit, because I want to do it more so to enjoy the language. And because what I find, I get joy out of seeing other people enjoy language learning, sort of. And so I like to see their progress. I like to let them know that, you're going to be able to get to this level. You're here right now, but over time you will be here. And it's so critical to look at where you're going and look at how far you've come, because if you don't judge the distance there and see that the distance to where you want to be is getting smaller and smaller, you'll sort of run out. You know what I'm saying? And it's important to know that you started learning this language to enjoy it, or whatever motive you may have. But I found that for me, a
I think it's
solution I
important to
had.
find a way to enjoy it, though.
Yeah,
Like, I
definitely.
say that some people don't learn it to enjoy, but I feel like even if you're learning it for some other, like, reason, find something about it that you really enjoy. Like, find an aspect of the culture that you want to be able to read about or something, or find an author that's
I
really
know.
popular in that language that you want to be able to read their text in the language they intended it to be in, or something like that.
That's what I love. That's what I love. Because I know for me, one reason I really wanted to learn Icelandic is I love the poems and the books of Sion, who I don't know what his last name is. I think he just publishes under that name. But and I've read them only in English. But the English blew me away. And to know that that was a translation, it kind of was amazing. I had this amazing experience reading this book. And that book too was a book I got used at a used bookstore, for probably like less than $6, I want to say.
Yeah, so I mean, just find something you do enjoy about it so that way it keeps you motivated. And there's lots of free ways to do that because we're on the money section right now. So there's
Definitely,
lots of
yeah.
free ways to find things, like we said, TV shows.
Netflix.
Netflix has, but that
That is
only works for
paid.
some languages as well. But a lot of people
YouTube
already
has a
have
lot of shows,
Netflix.
yeah. YouTube has a lot of shows, or even YouTubers
YouTubers in native
who speak it as
languages.
their native language.
Yeah, so just to find something that you're interested in, I think, or something you can connect with in the language, or some aspect you enjoy, like make it fun. Like, grammar can be fun for a lot of people because it ends up feeling more like a puzzle and stuff.
I love
So,
that.
like, find that if you are a person who, like, really likes puzzles and that kind of thing and problem solving, maybe you're more of a math person and stuff. Find
Definitely.
some way to make the language and, like, the grammar of the language and the vocab and memorizing that something more like what you enjoy.
And it's key to go into language learning, to go into these resources with an open mind. It's key to view it as an experience and not like you're trying to take something from it, but learn from it, you know? Like you're taking knowledge from it, but you want to absorb the knowledge, you want to become sort of embrace the culture, you know? And it's very difficult to get over cultural blocks when it comes to languages like Japanese or Korean that have these honorifics and the different way that society works. Languages like Urdu, I believe, is it, or Farsi, with Ta'amur, what is it? Ta'amur? I remember reading about it. It was like a different way that honorifics worked in that language. Because English is a language that has very little honorifics.
English has close to none.
Yeah, but like
We've
when.
even eliminated the two versions of you. Like, we
Yeah.
just kind of took everything out.
But yeah, crossing those language bridges can be key, and having these lower level, not even lower level, but so sometimes the cheaper resources will wind up being lower level, but it's okay because sometimes there's way more that you can get out of that. The more you go back through and read it, the more you go back through, and try to sift through what's important and what isn't.
Yeah, I mean, if you feel like the best resource for you is one of the more expensive ones, then maybe go for that more expensive one because it's also not worth it to buy 10 $10 courses instead of getting one $100 course that you feel works for you. So maybe if you are going to go with a more expensive course, maybe get the one expensive course and then stick with cheaper things to review. Like, don't get an expensive grammar book and an expensive vocab book. Get maybe like one expensive course and then a bunch of things to just review that are free or really cheap.
Definitely. I mean, Google Translate, as much as people like to dislike it, it is a very helpful translator. It isn't, I don't think it's the future. I don't think it's going to replace learning languages. I think it is important to get vocabulary in, and even though it's not great with context, that's where using those Facebook groups, asking people, I mean, people are nicer than you might think when you're learning their language. They're very open about it. At least that's been my experience. So long as you approach them in a friendly manner and use respectful, I think, you really can't go wrong when asking for help in another language.
What was I gonna say? Oh, dictionaries.
Dictionaries,
Google
yeah.
Translate works, but also sometimes Google Translate gives you a lot of definitions of like a
And you
lot of
may not
different
know
words
which
and
one's
you don't know
right.
which one's right. So like for that, I typically ask Matt for German, but also there's lots of online dictionaries for lots of languages, even like not very common languages. So instead of buying a dictionary, especially if it's a not so common language, like you're COSA learning, a COSA dictionary might be really expensive.
It was, but then Google
But
Translate added
Google
it.
Translate adds it. There's probably some online dictionaries. I don't know if
I
you
couldn't
found
find
any.
any.
Okay. Well, with other languages, there's online dictionaries where you can just go and search your word or whatever. So.
So yeah. Well, this was a wonderful second podcast, and we will see you guys next time. We hope you got something from that, and remember, our podcast is available on SoundCloud, and if you're listening to this on SoundCloud, feel free to go over to youtube.com and search Polyglot Progress. We are also on there,
Yep.
and we will see you guys next time.
If you have anything you want us to talk about in future podcasts, comment down below. If you have any other suggestions for making time or finding money or finding cheaper resources, feel free to let us know because we are all about that.
Definitely. All right, we will see you guys next time.
And remember, practice
Practice
makes
makes
progress.
progress.
Boop.